Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as always by...
Hold on, I got to get my script. I don't know my name unless I have the script. Vincent Caldoni.
All right. Now that we got that straightened out. So, everybody, it is October again. It's actually quite amazing how October has snuck up on us like this. And it seems like just last week it was friggin' July. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, right.
But it is October now, and... Well, what that means, of course, is that Halloween is nigh upon us, which therefore means it's time to yard out the spooky stories, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. It's that season. But,
that's right, spooky. No bloody serial killers this week, sorry, but we're going to talk about a cryptid that most of you have probably not heard of.
Yeah, but do we know if the cryptid could also be a serial killer?
Good point. I mean, it most likely is when you think about it, because a relatively small number of sightings could be taken as evidence that most people who stumble across this critter out in the woods don't live to tell the tale.
Ooh, yeah, you could take it that way. I mean, there's also a lot of missing people in Michigan. Yeah. Like, Michigan has may lead the country in missing people. It's got a lot.
Yeah. So. Good point. If you know, just as a little spoiler, that is where our cryptid lives.
Oh, he's in Michigan
and Wisconsin. I don't doubt there are probably a few caves out there that are filled with human skulls of unlucky cryptid spotters.
Yeah.
And if you happen to find one of these caves yourselves and you've neglected to bring a large revolver with you, well, I guess you can say hello to your new home.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us about this creature?
Yeah. Okay. The critter. I think of it as, it's called the Dogman of Michigan, but I kind of think of it as the Dogman of Lake Michigan, or Dogman, really, because there appear to be more than one. It's like, it's not just a one individual, it's like a species.
Oh, it'd be sad if there was just one, because then, like, you know, he wouldn't be able to reproduce, and it just...
be a lonely fellow, too. But there have been sightings of similar creatures on both the east and west sides of the lake.
See, I didn't know that before.
That's Lake Michigan. Yeah. Yeah, in Michigan and also in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Of course, they might be entirely different sorts of creatures, but they seem pretty similar.
Yeah, you'd have to think they're connected in some way.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's talk. Well, let's see. You actually turned me on to this story. Tell us about the dude on the Michigan side.
Yeah. So over in Michigan, on his side of the lake, they call him the Michigan Dogman. And the first known sighting of our pal, at least by the white man anyway, dates back to 1887 in Wexford County, Michigan. Not very far east of the lake. The creature was seen by some loggers and was described as very tall, maybe as tall as like 7 feet, canine, but walking up on its hind legs, or humanoid, but with a dog's head. Just kind of take your pick. It had blue, or...
I got a feeling they didn't stick around to take a really long, lingering look at this thing.
I mean, in all honesty, like if I was out in the forest and I saw something that was dog-like, walking on two legs, I would not hang out. That would actually scare me.
And 7 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. I would not stick around for a second look. And I like to think I'm pretty brave about these things. But I'd be getting out of there. It had blue or possibly yellow eyes. And instead of howling or barking, it let out a scream like a human, but louder.
Another reason to run, I guess. So, yeah, this thing has been sighted many times since in northwestern Michigan. And this is, like, by the way, the lower part of Michigan. Michigan, as you most of you know, is a two-part state, our only one. So there's the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula, also referred to as the Mitten.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, northwest Michigan, kind of, you know, right close to the lake. There seems to be a pattern of this creature showing up on a 10-year cycle in years ending in the number 7.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool.
That is interesting. I know it, but I would caution still our Michigan listeners to still take a gun with you anyway when you venture into the woods, because, you know, the dog man isn't necessarily bound by any rules.
Yeah.
And it might be too that there's been few enough sightings, at least of, you know, maybe it's not a 7-year thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
Maybe that's just,
you know, cool thought.
Yeah.
Some think this thing, the dog man, that is just your standard issue werewolf, or maybe like a variation on Bigfoot. It inhabits the forest, of course, and is only spotted in like isolated remote areas. The beast is very agile and it's quick, moves fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that certainly reminds me of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Bigfoot's that fast, but yeah. So, of course, the original reports came from logging camps deep in the woods. So, again, isolated. There was also a report in 1937 when one Robert Fortney reported that he had been attacked by 5 wild dogs. Ooh. One of the dogs walked on 2 legs.
Wow.
So, So, this was in Paris, Michigan, in the northwest area of the Lower Peninsula, like I said. And then there were other reports, like in the 1950s and 60s. Those came from Allegan County and Manistee County and Emmett County. And all of these border on Lake Michigan. So again,
likes the water.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. It doesn't seem to stray that far from the lake. Yeah.
One somewhat more recent report was that the dog man ran in front of a man's car, causing him to swerve and wreck. Do you know when this was?
No, actually, I do not know. This is like, apparently the guy reported on OnStar.
Okay, so this is pretty recent.
Pretty recent, yeah. I don't know exactly when OnStar started. Was that the
90s? Yeah, I think OnStar, it was the 1990s, began?
But
there also may have been some alcohol involved in this incident.
Well, there would be a tendency if you were bombing along on a country road and you flip your car or something to blame it on a cryptid. That's what I usually do.
Yeah, well, just some, like, what do you call it? Exhausted driving, tired driving. You know, you're dozing off, you're starting to lose tick with reality. You kind of see something out of the corner of your eye, you swerve, you crash. You know, I swear there was a dog at man thing out there. But
yeah, or it could be there actually was something and he swerved to miss it. And maybe he shouldn't have done that. You know,
right.
Run over the dog man and actually gotten a specimen. That would have been, you know, great value to science.
Yeah, if you see a cryptid in right up ahead and, you know, assuming it's, you know, not Godzilla or whatever, hit it, tag him.
Absolutely, yeah. That's if, yeah, mash that accelerator to the floor,
get him, man. Take that thing out. You could change the world. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and if it turns out to be like some kid or something like that, well, too bad for you, I suppose. But
it's gonna be some poor Sasquatch like dying in a motorist's arms. He's gonna reach up, grab the guy by his collar, and be like, "I blame Vincent." Others have also reported near misses in their cars, which, and they actually say that the dog man left deep scratches in the paint job of the car. Ooh. just kind of out of spite, I guess. Just wanted to leave him with a little souvenir. It's kind of like getting your car keyed, but by a dog man.
Yeah, I know. He knows how to hit car owners where it hurts.
Yeah, it's
right?
going to cost you.
I know. Or it might be that, you know, they brush him and he inadvertently scrapes their car. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could just be an accident.
Or it might be that the dog man has really not totally reconciled himself to modernity yet. He's not totally, he actually doesn't realize that cars are made of steel and are kind of like impervious to his claws. Maybe he's trying to compete it out. You know? Yeah, it could be that. Mm-hmm. So there's one theory that the dog man could be possibly a shape-shifting human being.
I like this one.
That's kind of like a werewolf, but not quite the same thing. There's a woman in Michigan named Amber Rose Hammond who wrote a book called Ghosts and Legends of Michigan's West Coast that discussed a Native American belief that you can change your mental shape. And that's in quotes, mental shape.
Yeah, that is weird.
To take on the traits of a totem animal.
Mm-hmm.
And So your totem animal, to the Indians anyway, is something that is always with you and protects you on your life journey. That's your totem, right? But there are some stories apparently that tell of Native Americans who actually physically turn into their totem, kind of a mind over matter thing or something. I don't know. And whether this is purposeful or involuntary, I don't really know.
Right. So it's sort of like skinwalking a little bit.
Yeah. And, so it might be, I could imagine a situation where, you know, you're really into your totem. You think about your totem a lot, but without meaning to, bam, you know, you turn into your, maybe, I don't know. And so it could be something like this, a kind of a shapeshifter, a skinwalker. Hmm. Yeah. Not just Bigfoot or whatever.
Right.
That's one theory, but, there's other theories as well.
Yeah. I mean, that could also explain why no one's ever, you know, brought one down. You imagine you're out there hunting and you shoot the dog man, you see it, you take aim, you get your scope ready and you bring him down. And the dog man, by the time you get up to your kill, has reverted to a human form. And you go,
oopsie, okay,
oops, I better hide this body.
Oh no. Another hunting accident. I know. Right. And so, yeah, that's what I would, totally hide the body myself, but yeah. And of course, that would explain the hunter is not going to go to the police and say, oh my God, I saw the dog man. I shot him and he turned into this Indian dude. No, you're not going to do that, are you?
I could see someone not doing that. I'd like to think that in, you know, the last 100 years or more or whatever, that somebody would have had the moral fortitude to come forward and be like, I'm really sorry.
The fact is nobody is going to believe you when you say, oh my God, he was totally a dog man when I shot him. It's only afterwards that he turned it. Nobody's going to buy that.
No, dude.
I mean, I would maybe keep it mum until I was on my deathbed and then make a dying confession about it. Maybe, you know, something like that. But, otherwise I would keep my mouth freaking shut.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. But, you know, back to the dog man though, so the legend got some legs when a video called the Gable film was released. And actually, I'm getting this out of turn. Actually, it got some legs earlier when there was a song released about it, but I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely talk about the song.
And yeah, the Gable film was released actually after the song.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
I think this was quite a bit later. And this was kind of the Dogman equivalent of the Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm.
And this was shot in the 1970s on grainy 8mm film by a young boy named Mike Agrusa.
Yeah.
He was on a family vacation in northern Michigan. And it mostly shows a lot of random stuff. Actually, you've got to wait quite a while in this video before you finally get to the...
Yeah.
I mean, you're ready to give up on it, for Christ's sakes. And then suddenly you see this, just a few seconds. It's very brief.
Mm-hmm.
Of this kind of bear-like creature moving fast towards the camera.
Yeah.
And then it cuts off, presumably because, you know, he and his family were running away. I'm not sure.
So you can see the film. It's on YouTube. And
of course.
It's a little shaky.
Yeah, my first thought on seeing it was, Jesus, kid, hold the goddamn camera still.
Yeah.
Right? It was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it's also when you see the creature, it's a little tough to make out, which they make you wait for too. There's a lot of like guys on snowmobiles and like dogs sniffing trees, like just nonsense footage till you get to that.
It's pretty random stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's home video stuff. Great filmmaking. So you think you'd see in home video, but why we had to watch all that before we actually, you know, we could have trimmed that down, I think, just fine.
Yeah, they could have trimmed it down a lot.
Yeah.
And
you don't really see the thing up close. It could be a dog man. It could be somebody in a fur coat. It's hard to say. It sort of looks more like a could bear than a dog man.
Yeah, it kind of does. Although it's you can't really make out the legs as it's sort of moving towards you, which makes me wonder if it's just like a guy or two guys in a pup tent, doing a bear imitation or something like that.
I mean, it really could be.
It almost looks like
between the low resolution and the distance. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be. I will say that it doesn't match any of the accounts that I've heard of the Michigan Dogman, in that it is not clearly standing on two legs. Like whatever that thing is, it's not 7 feet tall and it's not on two hind legs.
Well, it might be 7 feet tall. It's not on its hind legs, that's for sure.
No, it might be
if it stood up, it would be 7 feet tall. It does look like it's kind of large.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe if it stood up, but like at least as it's standing, it's like, I mean, it doesn't look like it's more than 4, maybe 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if it stood up, really, it could be incised. After the film achieved some fame, Mike Agrusa admitted that it was a prank. It hit the internet sometime around 2007, so there's your seven number right there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
On the other hand, he got a visit, or he allegedly got a visit from some suits from the government who told him to say that, huh? You think that maybe those guys came? And,
yeah, that's possible, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The Men in Black.
Yeah, you got some theories about this film. I mean, as far as like, maybe it wasn't entirely shot in the 1970s. It looks to me, to my untrained eye, like it is. It was shot way
back.
So
what I think,
38mm film.
Yeah, what I think Agrusa did is, I think he got some home videos, home film, maybe even his own family. Yeah. I don't know, or somebody's, and then just kind of spliced it together, and then at the very end, filmed his own little bit of it. There's a few tells that it's not. To me, that it's not legit, in that it's not the right aspect ratio for Super 8mm film. Just to get real technical about a film that has been admitted to have been fake, so I'm debunking that. Something that creator came out and debunked. But like, it's not the right aspect ratio. So whoever it was had to crop it into that 16:9 aspect ratio, and then lay the I'm making gestures here, but lay the sort of the frame marks around it, which would not naturally occur had you cropped it like that. So that's clearly a bit of VFX work had been done to it in post.
Oh, I
see. None of this is all really academic. None of it really matters, because the guy said he made it. But yeah, I think what it is it's a number. There's also, like, I can definitely tell you this didn't come off of one reel. It looks like they're shooting with a couple of different stocks. So that, you know, so it's not like the guy had his reel of a film from when he was a kid and then, you know, had it digitized and uploaded to the internet. It's pretty clear to me that it's a couple of different stocks that have been processed differently. So then we know that someone was in there editing it. Like I said, none of this really matters, because the guy's happy to tell you that it's not real. Although there are people, if you go on YouTube and watch the video, we can give you guys a link to that, because it is kind of fun. There are people who are pretty convinced that it's real, even though like the guys, you know, the creator behind it has said that. But, you know, why let the truth get in the way of a damn fine story about a cool cryptid?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just, I mean, actually, we all know there's a lot of people who don't let the truth get in the way. And, you know, we are the rare exception, of course. But just a handy hint, though, if you do, we'll give you the link if you do go look at it. And if you get a little impatient, the sighting of the creature is almost to the end. So you can fast forward that sucker.
Yeah. If you're not into watching vintage snowmobiles go around and dogs sniffing things, you can probably just watch about the last minute of it.
Yeah, I was actually a little, you know, it's the first time watching the entire thing. I was a little annoyed that somebody posted this entire thing as opposed to posting like 10 seconds or so of
the video. I think that makes it more effective.
Like, you made me watch that entire friggin' thing, you bozo.
I'm all looking around for Dog Man. It's just guys taking a snowmobile trip. Yeah, but maybe that makes it more effective, that you kind of have to, like, there's like a cool thing that I think found footage films often do, where they sort of make you, they metaphorically, if not literally, squint. You know, you kind of have to pay real close attention. Like, wait, what am I not seeing? Where is it? I thought I was supposed to see a creepy, oh, there it is at the end. And then that kind of helps the scare land. But yeah, there's...
yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there were times earlier on when I was like watching it really closely for the dog man, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. There are a few times I spotted something in the background in the trees, and I thought, oh, is that it? Is that it? And then, no, okay, not okay. It was, disappointing.
So next, we got to talk about an all-time banger. I mean, you're talking classic.
Yeah, this is actually a little bit older. This happened earlier than the film.
Well,
this was...
it happened earlier than the film was released, but after the film was supposed to take place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this was, and this gave the stock, this gave the story kind of a goose, at least in the Michigan area.
Oh, yeah.
And a disc jockey named Steve Cook, who worked at a Michigan radio station, recorded a song about the creature and played it on air on April 1st, 1987. And I know you're dying to hear the song, so we're not going to play the whole thing, but we'll play you a little snippet for you. So here you go.
A cool summer morning in early June is when the legend began. At a nameless logging camp in Wexford County, where the Manistee River ran. 11 lumberjacks near the Garland Swamp found an animal they thought was a dog. In a playful mood, they chased it around till it ran inside a hollow log. A logger named Johnson grabbed him a stick and poked around inside. Then the thing let out an unearthly scream and came out. An and stood upright. None of those men ever said very much about whatever happened then. They just packed up their belongings and left that night and were never heard from again. It was 10
well,
years
later. Well, that wasn't very good, was it?
It's pretty bad. I don't know. Maybe some people like it. I thought that was, I mean, okay, let's just be really fair to Cook. He's, you know, he's a disc jockey, not a musician.
Yep.
It came out April 1st. It was done as kind of a prank. So I wouldn't hold those to the same standards as, you know, like a Michael Jackson tune from around the same time, but that's pretty janky.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But he was just having a little fun. So we're not going to dish him too hard here. But what's funny is that what's ironic about this whole thing is that he later said that he had just made the whole thing up. But then to his shock and surprise, after he played the song, he started getting phone calls from listeners. He got a bunch of phone calls saying from people saying that they had actually had an encounter with this dog man that he wrote about in the song.
And
so he was quite surprised by it. He achieved a minor amount of local fame.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. But I didn't understand. Yeah. There's one thing you just told me right there that I didn't really get when you said he made the whole thing up. So he'd never heard of Dogman
before? He really
kind of
did. Not exactly. Huh. And I kind of suspect that maybe what had happened, he said he actually just pulled the whole thing out of his imagination. But I think it's entirely possible, too, that he heard stories and just kind of forgot that he heard these stories, too, you know. So it would be a remarkable coincidence if he just totally really did pull it out of his imagination.
I do want to just real quick, Joe, if I could, I do just want to kind of hit that, you know, some of this stuff sounds pretty silly and you might be at home thinking there is no such thing as Dog Man. There's a couple of randos saw it and then, you know, this goofball made a silly song about it and someone made a knockoff Blair Witch Project about it, but it's not real.
Yeah.
I would just come back, and this is kind of a good place to say that, is that if you start looking around, you'll quickly find that there have been so many sightings of Dogman over the years, especially.
Yeah, there have been.
Yeah, especially since around the mid 20th century. It's actually pretty crazy. And I'm told, I did not get to do this myself, but that if you're in Michigan, certainly certain rural parts of Michigan, and you mention Dogman, everybody's got a Dogman story or knows someone who has one. So, its ubiquity could get downplayed by this, by the way we're presenting it, and that a lot of people say they saw this thing.
Well, and think about it, I'd like to stress too that there were a lot of sightings before it achieved all this notoriety after the 1987 song. Mm-hmm. That's when it really started, you know, getting a lot of attention in the media and stuff like that. But there were a ton of sightings like back, you know, in the 30s, the 40s, 50s, especially in like the 50s and the 60s and stuff. And so even before it got big in the media and everything, there were a lot of sightings of this. So there appears to be something. Out there.
And just to play on another theme of yours, what year did the Dog Man song come out?
1987.
Wow, that's so weird.
Multiple. And well, that is intriguing, you know. And maybe Steve Cook was not being entirely forthcoming when he said that he made the entire thing up. You know, maybe he did actually. He had actually heard a few snippets of the tale here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that would explain the year it was released.
Maybe.
Or, there could be some sort of cosmic forces at work, too.
That's pretty crazy. But 2027's coming up, guys. Just a few more years.
Just around the corner. Yeah, that's right. So you still got some time to prepare yourself. So buy an AR-15 and a pile of 30-round magazines and 10,000 rounds of ammo.
Tell them Joe and Kel Doney sent you.
Yeah, damn it.
No, I mean, hey, I'm all for not doing harm to endangered species. But if the only way to get a look at this thing is to shoot one, I guess that'd be pretty cool.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that, like, I mean, you shouldn't go out in the woods with the intention of killing it, even. But if you're going to go out in the woods, just in case it decides to kill you, you should be ready for that.
Yeah.
You know? But if you don't have to kill it, don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Get some pictures instead. Yeah. That's better. Absolutely.
But now, meantime, I'm really glad that you included this in your script, because I was going to say something about it, because there's another cryptid that I think is really interesting nearby.
And quite similar, I think.
So just across Lake Michigan, on the Wisconsin side, there's a critter called the Wisconsin werewolf. And then the one that I think is really cool that I've actually done some research into myself is also known as the Beast of Bray Road. Now, are these the same thing? Are the Wisconsin werewolves and the Beast of Bray Road actually the same fella?
I believe they are the same thing, Yeah. So there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is actually really confined to a really specific area. So this guy seems to be really localized into one area, Walworth County in the southeast part of the state. He was first reported in 1936.
Yeah.
So
this large guy too, the beast is like 6 to 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So that's, that reminds me of a certain dog.
It does.
It has a humanoid body, but a head like a wolf or possibly like a bear. Yeah. Although bears, in my humble opinion, have faces really kind of that remind me anyway of dog faces.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably more like a wolf or a dog head. Yeah. Right. That seemed reasonable.
Yeah. This dog man, he walks on his hind legs, but he also goes around on all fours and he's furry. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that doesn't necessarily differentiate him from ours because the Dogman of Michigan quite possibly moves around on all fours. Uh-huh. You know, people just had not observed it, or maybe people have seen it moving around on all fours and just thought it was a bear or a very large wolf or something.
That's true.
Like that,
yeah.
And didn't pay any attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was on all fours, maybe you wouldn't even know there's any difference.
Yeah.
So as we said, the first sighting was in 1936, but there was actually a rash of sightings during the 1980s and the 1990s. The most recent sightings actually come from February of 2018 and July of 2020. So that's pretty recent.
Very recent.
Exactly. So kind of like the stories we were telling about Dogman, this guy likes to menace motorists. So there's this woman who was driving at night and she hit something. She gets out of her car to see what she'd hit, and it was a large wolf-like creature with glowing red eyes.
Although, in fairness, I got to say that his eyes might just have been reflecting her lit up taillights on her car.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure. You know, yeah, because glowing red eyes are awesome, but you know, in real life, how many creatures actually have glowing red eyes?
What purpose would that possibly serve in nature other than to be freaky?
It would be intimidating.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why. It's kind of a giveaway if you were like trying to hide for one reason or the other. So yeah, this creature with these red eyes just kind of stands up in front of her. She beats feet back to the car.
Sensibly. Yeah, I would say.
Yes. And imagine it. And this critter, he left marks on the side of her car, just like in the Dogman stories.
Claw marks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other people have reported similar vehicular encounters in which claw marks were left on their cars. These always seem to happen at night. There was another sighting by a driver who spotted a huge wolf-like thing chowing down on some roadkill by the side of the road. And as he approached in his car, the critter up and dashed off into the woods. So that might explain why a lot of these encounters take place on the roads. So maybe they are down on the road just looking for a little roadkill.
It's a good snack.
For us to snack on. Yeah, it could be.
So sightings during daylight also happens, but usually kind of more at a distance. Some people have reported seeing a really big wolf-like creature running through the fields.
So
it looks like he's over in Wisconsin, too.
It looks like, he's kind of like just right around the lake there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but there are some Dogman deniers who have said that the Wisconsin werewolf is just a gray wolf or a very large dog or maybe a black bear with mange. I'm going to go with the science, like all right thinking people. And the Wisconsin werewolf is the Michigan Dogman and a cryptid.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Don't argue with science. Yeah, and again, not the same individual. I'm just saying the same species.
Yeah.
I think it's, given the close proximity and everything else, I think it's the same
thing. Right.
But we still don't know exactly what the Dogman is, do we?
Not really, no. So I think we should maybe take a little commercial break and think about it. Come on back and tell everybody your theories.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. Okay, sounds good to me.
All right.
Be right back. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are back. Time for some theories. Let's figure out who this dog person is. And we got a bunch of theories here, actually. Yeah. Let's see. I'll start us out, I guess, if that's okay.
Yeah, please do.
Uh, Yeah, theory one, in no particular order, the creature is Bigfoot. Maybe having a little fun at our expense, you know, Bigfoot, you know, putting a little wolf mask on and scaring the pants off the humans, you know.
I like that. And like he gets somebody and then he like pulls the wolf mask off and then he's like, no, see, it's just me. But I mean, it's still a terrifying Sasquatch underneath.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And maybe the keel over from an aneurysm.
Yeah, that would break my brain.
Yeah, it would mine too. Yeah. It's also possible that maybe there's a breed of Bigfoot in the Great Lakes area that's a little bit different. Has a little bit like a more dog-like snout than the big feet that we're used to seeing here in the Pacific Northwest. Is that possible? Maybe a variation on Bigfoot?
I mean, I guess. I mean, it sort of depends on what you define Bigfoot as. To me, if it's dog-like, it's not Sasquatch. But I mean,
yeah,
you're getting into, you know, some murky taxonomy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm inclined to think it's its own thing.
Yeah, and not Bigfoot.
Yeah,
not some variation on Bigfoot. Okay, all right. Okay, well, you can hit me back then. Let's come. Let's have another theory.
Well, so I've definitely seen this one around. Is that it has something to do with aliens?
Ooh,
you know, why not? Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right, exactly.
Probably not all aliens are little scrawny gray green things with the schwa eyes and the huge heads. It's possible that there could be aliens who are furry and have dog-like features.
That's just as possible. Yeah, it really actually is. Yeah. I mean, so
yeah, I found some tantalizing stuff from very dodgy sources about a dogman, Michigan dogman being related to UFO activity, sightings being really, you know, connected. But I never found anything I could prove that. So doesn't do much for me, but it's worth mentioning.
Well, what about this? What if the aliens have genetically engineered a human dog hybrid?
Yeah.
You know, what if that? Yeah. So why would they do this? It could be because they're bored and just screwing around.
Yeah.
But there's other possibilities. And one is that perhaps they think that Homo sapiens doesn't really represent the pinnacle of creation. And they're trying to create a more perfectly adapted species for planet Earth by, you know, messing around with you know, hybrids and such.
Okay.
Yeah. There's that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this is kind of my unified theory of cryptids.
Ooh. Here.
It could be that the aliens are trying to create a sort of a moderately intelligent sort of helper collaborator species. Something like the orcs in Lord of the Rings. Something that will help them and work with them to exterminate mankind so they can take our planet. Because when you think about it, you know, the aliens, they can't really afford to come here in force. They're traveling over interstellar distances. It makes more sense to set up an outpost in a lab here and experiment until they can create their hybrid army of, you know, and then take over the planet that way. So that could be, and this would, and this would explain, for example, like, let's take Bigfoot. You know, why have we never found a Bigfoot skeleton?
Right.
Well, if the aliens created it, then they would monitor and carefully track every one of their creations. And if it died, they're going to go out and retrieve its body so it's not found by us. They're going to cover their tracks. They're going to erase all evidence of their experiments, aren't they?
Well, you'd think, but
you'd think so. Well, I mean, it might be that all the cryptids out there are basically just kind of prototype experimental hybrid creatures. And, you know, when the aliens finally hit on the winning formula, then you're not just going to see them once in a while. You're going to see them everywhere. You're going to see them by the millions because they're going to be like, you know, they're going to be like pouring into our cities and, you know, murdering us left and right.
Yeah.
So. That's my unified theory about aliens and cryptids.
Okay.
What do you think? Should we be worried?
I think we should probably start stockpiling food and bottled water.
Sounds good. And ammunition. Lots of
toilet
that
paper. You're going to be so mad if you forget the toilet paper.
I got a couple of years supply of toilet paper, so I'm good there. But can always use more ammunition.
I wrote a short story in college about a guy who stockpiled everything he could think of for the apocalypse, and he forgot the salt.
Oh, no.
Crazy. That's the end of the story. Anyway.
That's a good point. You know, you definitely want to have a couple of pounds of salt. Something. Anyway.
Just a little bit. Even like your food's salty. It's hard to eat if you don't have a little salt on it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about direwolves.
Yeah, that's an interesting possibility, isn't it? I love the name. Just the name Direwolf is like,
yeah. Do you know? You probably don't. We probably should have looked this up. Do you know where that comes from? Was that like was it named after a person named like John H. Dyer, or is there another reason?
Actually, I don't know where the name comes from. That's a good question. I got to look that up. Actually,
compelling radio. I mean, I'd have to look it up. Why are they called Direwolves? Direus. Is Latin for terrible wolf. That is what it says.
Terrible wolf.
Okay. They're terrible. What are these guys? They could have been super friendly. I don't know. It's so judgy.
I don't know. I mean, I think they were a bit larger than your average wolf.
They're pretty huge compared to a wolf.
And they had bigger, longer teeth. But as far as were they horrible creatures? I mean, I guess you could say wolves are pretty friggin' horrible. I mean, if you're a friggin' elk and you're being chased down by a pack of wolves,
less a pack of really big wolves.
So
these guys have been extinct in North America for like 10,000 years, but that's just the official story.
Yeah.
It does happen occasionally that extinct species turn out not to be extinct. And I'm really glad that you have this in there because I've been really fascinated by this and even thought about doing an episode on this particular incident. So in 2018, a rancher in Montana shot this wolf-like creature that was, making eyes at his livestock, to say the least.
I don't know that the thing was doing anything wrong. He might have just been passing by and the rancher was like, whoa, kill it. Don't know. He was actually several hundred yards away from the nearest livestock, apparently, when this guy shot it. So
anyway, this guy, he takes this wolf down, and he's in Montana. He takes this wolf down, but they have to actually turn him into the state wildlife officials. And when they examine the carcass, they were puzzled. And you can look at pictures of it. It just doesn't look like a wolf. Objectively not a wolf as we think of it. Its ears are too big. Its legs are too short. Its coat looked weird, its coat looked odd. I would say it has, based on the picture, as someone who's spent quite a bit of time in a zoo that had wolves, its hair looks too short to me. And I've never seen a wolf that color. It's odd, like a chocolate lab kind of color. It's really not the color that wolves, at least that I've ever seen. I'm not like some wolf expert or anything, but I've never seen a wolf that color. And
I've never seen a brown wolf like that either.
Yeah, it's a really odd color.
Yeah.
Its face also, to me anyway, seemed to have a really odd shape. Not like you think of a wolf. Its snout seemed a little too short. Its proportions were different. That's just my observation, not the Fish and Wildlife Department's observations. What the Montana Department of Fish and Wildlife and Parks put out a press release, and they said that it was a young, non-lactating female and a canid member of the dog family that includes fox, coyotes, and wolves. That's a quote. But they weren't sure which one of these it was.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking it would eventually be identified.
I don't know if they ever did, actually. They might have just
I was actually
to drop
looking that up
matter.
For this episode, and I really hadn't found much about it. There's not been any big new updates. I would have really liked to seen the big question I would have, and this actually goes back to the Beast of Jeppodon episodes, is if it had dew claws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dew claws are very much a product of interbreeding between species, which usually implies that they are part dog. So it could have been some kind of wolf dog hybrid.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Really I don't know. Big,
yeah, maybe. They did include the article that I saw. They did include a picture of the paw of one of its paws.
You'd need to look at the back of the leg.
Yeah, this was the back. You could see the pads and the paw and stuff like that. But it was like, if I recall correctly, but I don't remember seeing a dew claw there, though. I didn't see one. So, I don't know. It could have been some wolf dog hybrid, or somebody speculated at the time that it turned out that maybe it was a direwolf. Maybe the direwolf wasn't quite so extinct as we thought.
Mm. That would be so cool. Now, I will say this really thing is not especially large like a direwolf.
Well, the direwolf, they weren't. They weren't that enormous. I think they averaged about 150 pounds, which is still friggin' big. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's pretty damn big. But
no, I'm pretty sure if you saw a dire wolf at a distance, you probably would not be able to tell it from a normal wolf. But if you got up close to one, I think you'd be like, "Dang, that's a big wolf."
Yeah, and dang,
but I guess it was young, so maybe it was just not a fully grown dire wolf.
Oh, that's a possibility. Yeah, I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know whatever became of that. We'll have to call Montana and ask them what the hell.
Yeah. Well, I'm really fascinated by this case.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think this is a good match for Dogman, because direwolves, as well as our cryptid in Montana, they don't walk on their hind legs. So that kind of throws that one out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does. Although there are people that have said that they floated the possibility that the Dogman of Michigan actually is a direwolf.
I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense. So from what I understand about direwolves, their body, their physiology is not significantly different from a normal wolf's.
And if you
were to see an animal that could walk on hind legs or switch between the two, you would see a really different type of pelvis, right? The pelvic area would have to be really different. You can actually see this if you were to look at it, just if you want to Google it right now, look at the difference between a dog pelvis and a bear pelvis. You're actually going to see some pretty radically different stuff there. That would say that the fossils of direwolves that we have would kind of put the lie to it being the kind of thing that runs around on hind legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think I agree. It's more likely that the Dogman would be a bear than a direwolf. So we'll toss that one out. We included that one just because other people have floated the possibility. Plus, we wanted to talk about direwolves a little bit because they're cool.
Game of Thrones or whatever. I love direwolves. I think they're so cool. So let's talk about the Wendigo, though.
But the Wendigo is one of my favorite theories here.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Because this is kind of Wendigo territory, right? This is their traditional stomping grounds up in the north. You know, that's
certainly
kind of
Wisconsin.
Like,
I don't know if it's the same part of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a pretty big state. I'm always weirded out by how big Wisconsin is. I always think it's like the size of Oregon. It's actually much larger. But you're getting into that area, especially when you're on the other side of Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so, the Wendigo is not necessarily constrained. Just because he's been sighted in this area doesn't mean he can't move into another area. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he goes where the Wendigo goes wherever he damn well pleases.
Yeah, well, and apparently he's fast, right? Isn't that one of the things about Wendigo?
Yeah, he's fast, but more about what's really terrifying about the Wendigo is his ability to infiltrate your mind and your dreams. Yeah, your dreams especially. You know, I mean, that's his superpower. But even even if you set all that aside, I would not want to go mano a mano with a Wendigo.
No,
they're tall and they're kind of cadaverous and sort of semi-dead looking, and they've got antlers that they can slam you with as well and impale you.
So I did learn when we were doing an episode on the Wendigo that the representation of the Wendigo as having antlers is something that seems to come from the white man, not from the traditional tellings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So
being
an antlerless Wendigo may not actually. The lack of antlers may not actually mean he's not a Wendigo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although I like the antlers. It's just a cool touch.
It's cool. No, I see why people.
Yeah, just for some reason that the antlers make it just extra special creepy to me. I don't know. But
when you see fan art and stuff, it's got like stuff hanging from it. It's kind of cool.
Definitely. But let's imagine this. Let's throw a bone to the antler people and just say that, as we know it, a deer will shuck its antlers once a year and grow a new set. So maybe the sightings of the dog are a Wendigo that's just in that phase when it's not got its antlers on and it's growing a new set.
I'm down. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah. So, but and it's got the Wendigo, of course, has a deer's head and the antlers and everything. But again, a deer's head, especially in low light, especially if you only get a glimpse, that could be sort of mistaken for like a dog's head. They've got a snout like a dog,
The thing about it could be also, Joe, is that if somebody, back in 1887 identified it as looking dog-like, if you don't get a good clear look at it, it's dark out, it's nighttime, then, maybe your mind fills in the gaps and it goes to the dog thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not like, especially if you're out in the woods, and you start thinking about menacing things that are going to get you, your mind goes more towards wolves than it does towards deer. You're not really worried about being surrounded and taken down by a pack of deer, are you?
Deer can be really dangerous.
They're a lot more dangerous than people think. I have personally been kicked by a deer.
Have you really?
I did. I was kicked by a deer a couple of times.
I imagine that was unpleasant.
Yeah, they have sharp little hooves.
Yeah,
they really do. And I'd say it was okay. It wasn't a really big deer. I mean, a big huge buck could have really done some damage.
Yeah, well, I've seen like 5 videos of that. I believe deer are the deadliest non-domesticated animal in North America, or at least in the United States. So, yeah. So this could be a Wendigo. It could be a dude with a dog mask or a wolf mask or werewolf mask.
Yeah, that could be somebody out doing a little pranking. Yeah, mm-hmm. Could be.
That's a terrible idea. I hope that's not. Like, I'm much more down with, sorry, I'm going to jump ahead a little, but like, I'm much more down with one of your other theories that people are just seeing crap or making stuff up than idiots are going around. Because remember, like, sometimes this thing's standing in the road. Remember, we were talking about that, right? We're like, yeah, run him down. This is just some kids with a Halloween mask jumping out in front of cars. Like, bad idea. Do not do this.
Well, on top of that, if you're in the woods, you know, and you're wearing your creepy, super creepy outfit and everything, and your elevator shoes to make you look 7 feet tall, and that guy that you're scaring the crap out of happens to have a gun with him, you know, you might just get your ass shot, and deservedly so, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's just a bad idea all around. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It is still a possibility that there could be at least some of these sightings or somebody pulling a prank. Mm-hmm. And there's another possibility that's been suggested is that it's just a bear with mange,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes it look less bear-like. And again, as I said earlier, bears do have sort of dog-like faces. I just say it's one of the reasons I find bears so adorably cute is because they kind of remind me of dogs. They're like little fuzzy, chubby dogs, except they're really huge, you know?
So I'll throw one more bit of credibility on this bear one.
Yeah.
Bears can receive an injury to their back. That makes it more comfortable for them to walk upright than on all fours.
Bears
they can stand and sit upright, and they do like to do that. And they can even walk around like that, but they mostly prefer not to. It's not comfortable to them, just in the same way, like you wouldn't want to crawl everywhere, right? You'd get sore. But there is an injury that bears can get to their, I'm sure exactly what the injury is, but it's some kind of back injury that can make them need to walk around on their hind legs. Now, this makes it hard for them to eat and to nourish themselves, and that could cause them to get skinnier, which might lead to an appearance that would look less bear-like, right? The big roly-poly bear look that we would all associate. They wouldn't have that. And actually, I've seen bears get so skinny, you know, in the season where they are not as able to eat, that I mistook it for a dog. I thought I was looking at a dog, and then I was like, it's a black bear. It's a very skinny black bear. So if you imagine a thin bear that walks upright, you might mistake it for a dog man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's actually a very scientifically credible story, although I don't like it because it makes me a little sad. I feel sorry for
the poor
bear.
It's a bummer story. It's not a healthy bear. That's a bear that's in a lot of trouble. What I think the problem with that story is that if someone saw that once, I'd say that's a very likely explanation. This is pretty rare that we've had tons of, you know, geographically centered sightings over, you know, more than 100 years.
Yeah.
Why
are they all in this one area?
It gets pretty unlikely, like, that there'd be multiple bears with this injury, you know, all in the same place. That doesn't quite track. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Hey, so I guess I don't know. So, but that does make a lot of sense otherwise. But so that gets us back to, like, well, where are we at here? We got Bigfoot, aliens. No, direwolf out. I guess that leaves the Wendigo. That's the only credible theory we've got here.
Well, okay. So the other one I thought of, and you have to help me with this because I just thought of this when we were talking about the Wendigo thing, is you did a story about a kind of a werewolf from Germany, but he was very different. He wasn't like some hapless fool who turns into a wolf by the light of the full moon, but he had a magic belt that turned him into a werewolf that Satan gave him, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
what's that guy's name? Do you remember his name?
I cannot remember
his name. What was that guy's name? Stick in my head, but
damn it. Yeah, no, I can't. I know. I remember the story you're talking about. Yeah, I should have remembered that one too. But
it does make me wonder if this could be maybe some kind of magic, some sort of shape shifting magic.
Yeah,
that guy, and then that's why, you know, we don't find the body. You know, we don't find a corpse. We don't have bones. There's no fossil records because it's not an actual animal that lives out there, but it's a type of a weird skinwalker or a transforming shape shifting black magician
Yeah.
Just a thought.
And then he must have like passed a secret down to his like, you know, his son or grandson or something like that. Cause yeah, obviously
he gave Satan's wear belt to his kid or something. I don't know. That's just,
could be. Yeah. Something like that is entirely possible. I mean, I don't know what the ethnic makeup of Wisconsin is. They get a lot of Germans there, a lot of Central Europeans.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's plausible that one of these one of these guys had, I mean, had this special mojo. It is a little bit outlandish. It's like, toss a coin here between him and the Wendigo. I guess they're equally credible.
There you go.
But I don't know, man. But anyway, but. This is mainly it. I don't know. I think we're kind of out of theories here.
The truth is that no one knows what this thing is. You know, we're not really going to be able, we haven't seen it. We can talk about what theories exist and which ones we think are more interesting than others. But the truth is it's totally unidentified. And that's what makes stories like this really fun, is that you have to sit around and speculate. There's not going to be one answer that makes the best sense.
No, not until we actually bag one. And again, like I said, like we said earlier, probably somebody has bagged one and it just turned out to be some dude. Oops. Okay. So, I don't know. But the main thing here is, even if we're not supplying you with any answers to our all of our many thousands of listeners surrounding the Lake Michigan area, you know, you're on notice now. Be careful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look out. You have only 5 years to get yourself prepared for this.
Yeah.
Or less.
You have five years. You can do it.
Yeah. You probably can. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. The main thing is, you know, don't waste time listening to those other podcasts. You still want to listen to ours. But don't burn up any valuable, precious time listening to those other guys.
Yeah, they're not going to help you.
Yeah. No, God, no.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's it. That's it for this week. Unless you've got any more stuff to add, Vincent, do you have any?
No, I think that's about everything. But I thought this was fun. What a great way to start October.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tune in next week and the week after for more spooky stuff. In fact, we're going to do spookier stuff next week, I think.
This is just the opening.
Try. Yeah, it is. Exactly. All right. Well, cool. Anyway, so stay tuned, of course, to find out how to find us via, you know, social media, and of course, how to get an email to us. Mm-hmm. And of course, as always, the usual plea for a really nice rating and review wherever you get our podcast from. We would appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
If
you haven't done it yet, you definitely please give us a rating and a review, all that stuff. And if you've already done that, tell somebody about us.
Yeah, totally. And then force them at gunpoint to leave us a nice rating and a review, whatever it takes.
You gotta do
whatever. Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. So I guess that's about it. So as they say in Northern Michigan, toodaloo, is that what they say?
I'm sure somebody does.
Yeah, okay, there you go, toodaloo.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at @shockingdetails. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Dog man.
Dog person. Watch it.
it's a guy. It is a cis identifying genetic male.
Is it? Okay.
No, I have no idea. I'm totally joking.
Anyway, good find on that Steve Cook song, though. That's awesome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.